And we're rolling.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome back to Working Title.
Thank you for having me again.
This is your third time back on the pod.
Yeah, I guess it is.
The first time was Don't Go to Bed Angry, which I think is my highest listened to episode. And I love that episode. But it does make me cringe when I listen to it, just the way, same way that like when I watch old YouTube videos, I cringe.
I think whenever I listen back to myself, I tend to cringe, even if I think it's half decent.
Yeah.
It's tough to listen to yourself.
I think also that's when I was being super weird with my podcast and trying to like produce it a certain way, which I commend the effort. But listening back to the first episodes just makes me kind of want to die. But anyways, we did Don't Go to Bed Angry, which if you do want like a rundown on how we met, and just kind of like the basics of our relationship, we recorded that I think actually on our 1 year, which is crazy.
There we go. We're like 3.5 now.
Yeah, 3.5.
So powering through.
We are. So that was the first one. The second one we did was the day we like recorded the second part of the episode, the day that you were moving to England, which was June 2022.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Here's number three. So this episode is going to be all about long distance and our experience doing long distance. We'll try to offer some advice. I get so many DMs requesting this specific episode. For the past year, Zantori has lived in England, in Bristol, and I've been in Manhattan. But do you want to just kind of share what you've been up to for the past year?
It's been good. I've been working at my family company, which has been great. I've been very much enjoying that, learning all the facets of the company. And we got some great people, which it's been a real benefit for me as someone kind of trying to make a way in business. Health has been very good, which is, people forget how important that is. So I'm very lucky that that's been great over the last year. And I've, you know, for the majority of the time, been very happy. So I really can't complain. I'm a lucky boy.
Love that.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Should we run through like the different types of long distance that we've done?
Sure.
I think we are good people to speak on long distance because we've done at least three different types of long distance.
Yeah, we're trying to collect all the badges.
Yeah, exactly. We won't get into the nitty gritty of like how we met and what our first year was like, because I feel like we dived into that in Don't Go to Bed Angry episode. But we really, like, the foundation of our relationship was built on long distance because we got together right before COVID started. So it meant that really, like, the getting to know you phase happened over FaceTime between two different countries when we weren't allowed to visit each other.
Yeah. Our timing hasn't been quite right when it comes to, I think we got together in early February, and then all of the COVID chaos happened mid-March, and that obviously just kind of threw us for a loop. But I think we've spoken about that in the previous episodes. Yeah. But it was a good foundation for a relationship that would move forward with a lot of long distance, because it was forced long distance in a very, obviously, as everyone knows and everyone experienced, a very crazy time. So we definitely found our footing quickly, and I think we're stronger for it, I think.
Yeah, I agree. So that was the first time. And then you actually, immediately after that, you started doing your master's in the States. So you were in Syracuse doing your master's and I was in Manhattan. So that was like part two of long distance, where we were in the same state. We were still like 5 hours away from each other, but easy enough to like hop on an Amtrak or drive up and see each other.
That was one of those things where it felt so much closer because I was on the same continent in the same country, but still a 5-hour train journey. It's definitely still long distance. And when I look back on it now, I'm going gray early, which is very frustrating, and I still can't grow a mustache, so it just seems like the wrong way around. But I think part of the reason why I'm going grey early is after 5 years of being in Syracuse, where I had like deficient vitamin D. Like, I'm convinced.
Yeah.
Because that's how you like go grey. It's just is not it? Seeing the sun. Yeah.
Seriously?
It's one of the reasons why premature greying can occur.
No way. I've never heard
so
that.
Now, like, I make a point when I'm in the office every day during my lunch time just to sit out like on a bench outside the office and just like in some way get some kind of sunlight.
That's your hair salon?
Exactly. I actually read today as well that you should not do the nail dryers in nail salons. Apparently because they're terrible for you.
Because of the UV.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I kind of have gotten off of the like gel nails also. All summer I just had bare nails, and then I got my nails done for the wedding that we just went to in Martha's Vineyard, which was really fun.
Beautiful wedding.
Yeah, so beautiful. But now they're all gone again, and I kind of love it. And I know that the UV is so bad, and I actually have like put an effort into wearing sunscreen on my hands when I go, but I feel like such a fucking dweeb when I do it, because I go to Mickey, which I feel like it's like, I love her. She's the best. I love her family. Last time I went, both of her kids were there, and we were just like, one of their kids taught me how to play chess, which was really fun. But I basically, you go in and she has you wash your hands, but like, I always keep the door open. Like, I don't know why. I don't know. It just feels like weird to close the door if you're just washing your hands. I don't really know. And then at that point, I feel really weird putting on sunscreen on my hands. Like, I don't know why I shouldn't. And if you do get gel nails, you should put sunscreen on. But it's not like I can like prep when I'm walking in and like put it in before I go into the salon. I have to like make a whole deal of it. And then of course sunscreen smells like sunscreen. So anyways, yeah, that's a tangent, but I've been enjoying my bare nails.
Now you all know Margot's sunscreen routine.
Yeah, or lack thereof. I have been really good about wearing sunscreen this summer, which I'm really happy about. And we also just went to Turks and Caicos, and I think we did a really good job of wearing sunscreen.
Yeah, we bronzed, we didn't burn.
Yeah,
which is important.
True. So yes, we did the Syracuse long distance. I will say a downside of doing long distance when it's like in the same state or a couple states away is there's always the pressure of like, well, I could just like hop on a train or like get in my car and drive up. And I think that maybe puts more pressure on the relationship, because it's like, if you have the option there and it's like a free or easier way to see each other, then it's easier to put pressure on each other. Like, well, you have this weekend free, why aren't you coming down? You know, when in reality, like, life has to move on when you're in a long distance relationship.
Yeah, but I think that's also a key part of long distance, is being able to understand each other's needs, and also have a bit of empathy for each other in terms of, no matter if it's a long distance relationship, kind of it's in the name that you're going to be traveling a long distance, and that's not something that you can necessarily do every weekend. And you're a busy girl, I'm a busy guy, and obviously we love seeing each other, but there's also times where we can't necessarily, or couldn't back then, still can't now, see each other every weekend, and you get through it.
Yeah.
And it also makes the times, you know, I like having things to look forward to. And obviously it sounds silly, because obviously people have relationships where they're living with each other, and hopefully we'll do that at some point. But
at some point, I hope so.
Yeah, well, it'd be a refreshing change. But yeah, to have kind of dates to look forward to is nice. And I think it'd also almost be harder if every weekend we saw each other and then didn't see each other. It's like a lot of like goodbyes, yeah, rather than one big hello and then a few weeks later one big goodbye, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's so true. And we also, something I love about long distance, well, I guess you can do this in like any relationship, but I guess it's more meaningful when it's distant, and you have to put the effort in. But we've only done one surprise throughout long distance, which actually I don't think I would like to be surprised. Like, obviously I would love
your other boyfriends would be around, right? I might catch you out.
I have two other long distance boyfriends on rotation, so I have to plan accordingly. But no, I feel like I just I always like to get all of my shit done like before you arrive. Like I love when you come and it's something to look forward to and I can have my whole like apartment all clean. What? Oh, you're looking around like this place is a mess.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I guess I would like to be surprised, but I love surprising other people. Like I feel like even day to day, there will be like random little things that I like to surprise you with.
Yeah, I think it's hard now. I mean, you did a great job of surprising me when we were doing the Syracuse, New York stint. I think it's very hard to surprise someone when you're flying across the Atlantic or flying across any ocean because we FaceTime once a day, twice a day, but we're obviously texting throughout the day. So for me to just like go blank for 8 hours, 10 hours.
Yeah.
I think you'd get a little bit suspicious. And then also, I forget that we have Find My Friends. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
But I know that you occasionally will look on it. And so...
Well, if you weren't answering you me for 8 hours during the day,
yeah. I'd look so at it. So you go, where is he? And then all of a sudden you'd see that either I was across the Atlantic or all of a sudden I was like 20 minutes away from you at JFK Airport. So yeah. I feel like...
But I will say I'll only look at it when I'm like actually worried about... you or if I'm like at your apartment and I'm waiting for you to come home from work or something, then I'll see like where you are. But I feel like because that's always a possibility that like maybe, but I'm more so like if I don't hear from you for a while or if your mom texts me and she's like, have you heard from Santori? It's like a nice like tool to have to make sure that,
yeah,
you know. And if I look and I see that you're at your gym or something, it's like, okay, he's just like kind of tuned out.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and I do too now when I'm at the gym. That's my time.
Yeah,
my time.
So that's part one and two of long distance, and that leads us to this stint. So we did a year together in New York, which we talked all about that in the second episode we did together, which is called Juniors.
It was that exciting that.
No, I just forgot. It's called An Ode to Juniors.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, we did that year in New York together, and then Santori moved back to England, and here we are now over a year later, and I am re-signing my lease here in New York, so it's going to add at least another year to us doing this distance, which we can talk about, because I feel like that's a decision, definitely, when you're in a long distance relationship to like stay doing distance, especially when I do have more flexibility in my work and my lifestyle. I guess we can just talk. You want to talk about that now?
Sure. Going back to the juniors episode.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that I helped juniors distribution channels, but since that podcast, every grocery store that I go into in New York City has like the little mini.
No,
juniors,
babe, that was
cheesecakes.
All you.
I'm convinced it was.
We should actually write them. You should get royalties.
Yeah, I think they probably listened into the podcast because obviously everyone listens to this podcast and went, actually, you know, we're breaking into new markets here. Let's just global expansion.
I think you did that. And I think they owe us a thank you note. So,
or at least a bit of cheesecake. That's all I ask. Okay. It doesn't take much to impress me. Yeah.
Well, thank you for doing that. And if there's any brand sponsors that you want to shout out this time, I do want a Frame TV. So maybe Samsung, I know.
Is this the deal with the podcast? We just talk about things we want and it gets sent to us? In that case, I will
Well,
have...
it didn't quite work out with juniors. We're still waiting for a cheesecake slice.
No, I've just got a text. It's on the way.
Oh, okay.
God, what will I have? I don't know.
You can have anything in the world.
But that's the thing, like, yeah, I've got to think on that. There's nothing immediately that I think I would need. Any kind of food partnership or something that, like, I've never been jealous of any kind of, you know, I'm your biggest fan, I root for you and all of that. And when you tell me you've got, like, a deal with a different company or, you know, I'm always very proud and, yeah, happy for you. However, I was truly Guinness? I was truly jealous when you got the Guinness deal because that's like my dream partnership. I've got like a Guinness poster in my flat and yeah, kind of grew up wanting to love Guinness because my dad loved it. And obviously when you're young, your palate is just like not suited to
and
Guinness at all.
And hopefully you're not drinking Guinness when you're young.
No, but I'd have sips. It's very European. From kind of 10, 11, you'd have like a sip of beer.
10?
Yeah. At like a restaurant, yeah.
Okay, I just have to
supervised by your parents.
Yeah, I just have to publicly say that I am not endorsing any of these actions.
No, but it's very normal in the UK and Europe to do that, because I think there's a mentality that they don't want the kids to like have a taboo around alcohol, which I think helped my brother and I. Although my brother drinks like a horse, but
that's because he like needs to drink so much to feel like.
Yeah, he's 6'5", unfortunately for me, as a 6'1" person. But yeah, no, I was very jealous of Margot's Guinness deal. I think that and Ralph Lauren are like the two brands. If I was like an influencer, I'd love to work with is Ralphie and Guinness.
Yeah, Ralph Lauren is my number one brand that I want to work with, that I will manifest. Oh, also, the documentary that you showed me, Very Ralph, is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a terrific documentary.
If you guys like style and documentaries and storytelling, you need to watch Very Ralph. I think it's on HBO. It just gives you so much appreciation for the brand that he has built. And we were talking the other day about how Ralph Lauren is like truly a living legend. And like, there's not a huge handful of people that are as accomplished as him that are still, I mean, I'm sure he's not day to day. Like,
no, I'd put him in that same kind of bracket as a Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
As a, like,
and just so like American dream, like
that's what he kind of like fed into. Yeah,
and that's like what the whole aesthetic is. It just makes you appreciate the brand and him as a person so much more. But yeah, my dream would be to go to a Ralph Lauren fashion show and work with them.
I think we've just given them enough flattery that maybe you'll get lucky.
That's for you, Ralph Lauren. The brand, not the man. Anyways,
we were talking about long distance, but you wanted to get into that, I think.
For part three of our recent stint. Oh, I guess I can get into my decision to re-sign in New York. So there's like so many different parts that go into this. I think the biggest thing, and again, like everything that I'm saying right now in my brain, there's like a gajillion tangents that I could go off of, but long story and explanation short, we're both very happy right now. We're long distance is working for us. We really don't have many complaints about it, and I think in fact it's really good for us, and I think it's been a gift that we've been able to experience this and have it work out. So going off of that, I'm really happy in New York. I'm really happy with my life right now. I love my apartment. It's nothing fancy, and it's kind of a mess right now because we're just about to head out of town, so I have to organize. But it's like my little nest in the world. And yeah, I love it. And Zantori also just moved into his apartment in Bristol recently, and he feels the same way about his home. He's made it really comfortable, and it's a happy place for him. So, also, we just haven't talked about the fact that since bringing up the laundry beautifully folded, Zantori is like the number one house husband in the entire world. He now has gold eye masks under his eye.
Self-care, baby.
Cord, you do look gorgeous, and it actually looks really good. I was noticing I like the silver watch with the gold eye under eye thing. It's a cool look.
I gotta say, gold is not usually my metal of choice. I tend to opt with silver, but you had these gold eye masks lying around, and I'm a sucker for the eye mask. I don't care who knows it. So yeah, I figured if we're just going to do a podcast and not really do much else, it's a good opportunity.
You look gorgeous. And I did just record a clip that I'm going to post on Instagram. So if you listen to this episode within the first 24 hours of it being live, you'll see it on my story of Zantori just looking gorge. Yeah, so Zantori is an amazing house husband.
I'm very rigorous when it comes to cleaning, which is a good and a bad thing, I think. I think I can kind of rein it in when I want to, but sometimes it gets a bit out of control. Just by the nature of my OCD.
Yeah.
But it has its perks.
I love that part of you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I guess we can... Oh, yeah. I just want to finish, like, wrap up the question that we started 50 years ago, which is... it wasn't a question. It was me talking about how I'm going to renew my lease. basically, it was a joint decision that both of us made that this is working, and until it's not, then we revisit that. And the next step is going to be me moving to England, whether that's most likely London or another part of England. And that will then move us into phase four of long distance, where I'm in London and Zan's in Bristol. But we just have so much fun with this.
Yeah, once we get to phase five, I think they give us something free. I don't know what it is, but long distance is very similar to Scientology in that it has all these phases, and
we're trying to go clear with long distance.
Yeah, Tom Cruise in it out here.
Yeah, so I'm gonna, with that, because that was like the number one question that I was getting when I did this Q&A a couple months ago. I just went back and screen recorded all the questions, which, by the way, you guys are insane with how many questions you asked. I fucking love it. And I think so many people out there are in long distance relationships. At least two of my best friends are in long distance relationships. So I feel like they're like way more common than I ever realized or really thought about. I don't even know where to start. Do you want to look through this, or do you want me to pick some questions?
You just pick some.
Okay. I'm going to start with this question. Do you ever struggle with feeling like you're living in two different worlds?
I don't think struggle is the right term. It's more of a, we do live in two separate worlds, and I'm completely fine with it. I think you are as well. It's kind of like a nice thing to, you know, come together after living our own separate lives and enjoy a little time together, and then go off in our own, yeah, little ecosystems. But there's never been a better example of that than when I was driving back from work, and I live kind of out in the countryside between Bristol, where my flat now is, and Bath, which is another gorgeous.
Yeah,
you work there. Yeah, I work in between the two cities in the countryside. And I was stopped on a road in the countryside because there was cows crossing the road. Meanwhile, Margot is on the speakerphone to me telling me that she's getting a blade from New York to Long Island for dinner. And I thought, I think our lives are slightly different.
Two different modes of transportation to work, but
basically. But yeah, there's many examples like that. But I wouldn't look at it as a struggle. I'd look at it as actually quite a nice thing that you and your partner can come together each day, every other day, whatever it is, on FaceTime or via text, and connect despite having your own little busy bee lives apart.
I think also something that we have talked about on previous podcasts, and also just kind of like between us, is it's been such a gift that we met each other young, and at least younger than like I thought I was gonna meet like my person. So it's been kind of like the nice part of long distance is that you still get to experience life to its fullest as like a individual, and we've both been able to do that in very different ways while still having this partnership and bond. And like, I think it really just comes down to having respect for each other and knowing that you're not going to be living the same two lives, and just that that's like okay, and that there's a lot of power in that. Okay, I'm really just randomly picking these because there's so many. I like this one. Don't you guys feel some kind of weird when reunited?
The quick answer to that is yes, but I don't know if we've... Have we discussed that in a previous podcast?
No.
Yeah, I think it just takes some time to adjust to being back with each other after being away from each other. I think also it's always a bit odd when someone that you've been speaking to on FaceTime every day then becomes a 3D object. Mm. And again, going back to the previous question, if you're living in two separate worlds and then you come together, there's always going to be a bit of, you know, ebb and flow. But it's usually, for us, sometimes not at all, at the most a couple of hours where we're just kind of like, oh, you're a living, moving human being and not an avatar on my phone.
Yeah, I think also just going back to both of us living by ourselves, it's literally going from 0 to 100, like not seeing each other for a month, month and a half, 5 months, however long your kind of like cadence is. And then living together, like you're just like every minute of the day you're together. So yeah, of course it's going to take some like adjustment, but it's always like, I mean, it's always so exciting to see each other, obviously.
Yeah. And I wouldn't look at it as a negative thing. I think, I don't think either of us are big FaceTime people as it is. I think it's kind of a means to an end for us. So I actually think it's always a nice kind of awkward
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Yeah. When we first see each other.
It's like, hi.
Yeah, exactly. So, good question though.
Yeah, I love that. How to maintain trust?
I don't think something... I don't know if trust is something I... Like, I trust you.
Yeah.
I don't think it's anything like I... I don't think I think about it. It's not something that I go like, I've never questioned it.
Yeah.
And I don't have a reason to question it. So therefore, I don't feel like I need to maintain it. If there was a reason why I didn't trust you, then we'd address it. But there's no reason from my side, at least. So.
Yeah. No, I feel the same way. And I think it's also when going into a long distance relationship. I mean, I don't know. I can't speak on this if you don't already have that just like basis of like, of course we trust each other. Like, what is there to kind of think about? But I think it's that is probably like the basis of doing long distance, because really like what it comes down to is it's a form of freedom, A, being able to do long distance, and B, being able to be comfortable and happy.
Yeah, no, trust is probably the most important thing in a long-term relationship, I'd say.
I love this question. Somebody asked, how many times a day do you call your boyfriend and do you consider it a healthy amount? I feel like when I read this, like my knee-jerk reaction is, I don't think it's when you're thinking about how much you should be talking to your partner or whatever. I think that's so personal for each couple. I don't think there's a right amount or a wrong amount. Neither Xantori or I are big texters. So usually we'll just have like one or two longer phone calls during the day. And sometimes there'll be a week where every time we catch each other, especially because of the time difference, it can't talk right now. Can I call you in 5? I don't know. I think it's so different for each couple. And I don't think you should go into a long distance relationship with certain expectations. I think you kind of just have to feel it out, check in with each other constantly and make sure that how are we feeling? Do we need to talk more? Yeah.
Yeah, I think I was listening recently to a podcast with the man, the myth, the legend, Matthew McConaughey, and
all right,
he was talking about how for his relationship with his wife it's all about quality time rather than quantity of time. And I think as soon as you start trying to put value in the quantity of anything, you kind of stop then being able to show up for,
like, it's almost like,
yeah, if it's like, oh,
it's like checking a box. It's like, okay,
exactly.
Did our 3 phone calls and whatever.
Yeah, it's like, oh, we did 4 phone calls yesterday, let's try and do 4 today. And then you just end up either talking about rubbish or not talking or just not showing up for each other. And that's just, at least in my opinion, not the best way of going about it. So I'd much rather speak to Margot once every 3 weeks if it means we're going to have a great conversation versus every 5 minutes.
3 weeks.
You know what I mean? To be extreme. But yeah, I don't think we've actually ever really gone more than about maybe max like 36 hours without speaking to each other. And that was like a rare occurrence. Usually it is about at least once a day and then the odd text throughout the day.
This next question is, how can you feel like you're still together when you're apart? One way to do this is through gift giving. I actually have a gift that you gave me that I think is maybe one of my favorite gifts I've ever gotten. And I'm out of it now, so take note. One of the things that Zan's company does is produce soap, among many other things. And part of that comes with creating new products, kind of ideating different brands that they can create within this bigger umbrella company. And they also have a cafe at their shop. So Xantori had the idea, kind of like if you guys are familiar with Frank Body, they have the coffee scrubs. Zan had the idea to take the coffee, what do you call them, grinds, from their cafe and turn it into a scrub. And so he only did the limited collection basically to kind of just like test the idea. They have a gift shop, so they wanted to see how it would sell, if the soap base worked, whatever.
It was just also a nice way of like having our two different sides of our company with the cafe and then also with the soap side, like merging them in some way, like a little, like our own little collab.
So Xantori basically himself created this new product, which you don't do often, but you kind of had this idea and wanted to execute it, so you did it. And he gave me a pot of the scrub that they made. There is just something about getting to start my days. I would use it so frugally, but now it's gone.
I have more I can give you when you're in the UK.
Thank you. Just starting my day with something that Xantori made with his own hands, and I got to wash my body with it and it smelled really nice.
Ding dong.
Not even like that, but it was just like, it was such like a sensory experience away from you that you had such a part in every day. And I'm really not saying this in a sexual way. Like, it's not. It was a really nice part of my routine that, especially with smell, because smell is so tied to memory and it's smells can evoke such strong emotions and feelings, it was just such a beautiful way to start my day. It was just the most beautiful gift I've ever gotten.
Thank you very much. I mean, you did a very nice thing for me as well, where I have a particular favorite of Margot's perfumes that she wears, and she got me the candle of the perfume, which I have in my flat. So whenever I'm kind of in need of a little bit of a sense of Margot kind of being nearby, I light that candle. And you know, as you say, scent has so many memories and emotions tied to it. It's I think for anyone in long distance, swap colognes or perfumes or something along those lines, because they do feel closer then, I think.
You know, something else is music.
Yeah, we've done a few playlists together. The funniest thing was, I think Spotify did this new thing where you could have a joint playlist, and you can do it now where you can kind of add it together. But when they first launched it, it was the two people's like most listened to songs, and it came out, and obviously Margot's were all like very beautiful, heartfelt songs that she'd been listening to. And because I was going to the gym every day, it was like UK rap, Metallica, and like Audio Slave, and it was just like a complete, like, you'd go from like one really chill enjoyable song to like Higher by Creed. And yeah, it was just, yeah.
But before that, and something that we still keep up, is we both have playlists that are like dedicated to each other, so we can listen to those. And then yeah, we have a joint playlist called Long Distance. This question is actually making me want to build out like an entire blog post around long distance. So different like gifts that we've gotten each other. I'm gonna link a bunch of different perfumes and colognes that also have candles. I'll link our playlists, and just like anything else, I'll work with Santori to kind of build this clickable, shoppable site for long distance, because I feel like
shop the Margot Santori collection.
We got, oh no, I had this what is it called, like a jelly cat rabbit, and he became our son. Santori adopted him, which is very nice. His name is Winston. Actually, Santori named him. He was nameless for a year and a half. Zan named him Winston. So with that, he became the adoptive father. And then when we were doing the part two stint with Syracuse in Manhattan, I got Zan his own jellycat rabbit. And now we have joint custody. We swap them every few times that we're visiting each other, so they both get to see their mom and dad.
What's my one called?
Graham.
I discovered, and I don't know if there's any English people listening to this, but Americans cannot say the name Graham.
It was Graham.
They glitch when they say Graham. They go Graham.
No. Graham. No, you say Graham.
No, I say Graham.
No,
it's a very popular English name.
I say Graham.
Like Graham cracker.
Graham cracker, exactly. That's spelled the exact same way. Newsflash. How do you say Graham cracker?
Well, we don't have Graham crackers in...
But you just said Graham.
Well, I'm not going to call them Graham crackers.
But that's what you call the name.
I know, but I don't know what my point is anymore. But it's just weird to me that you don't say Graham, you say Graham.
Tip, don't name your kid something that the two of you don't pronounce the same way, because it will tear you apart.
I want to say my parents did that with my name.
Did they pronounce your name differently?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. How?
My mom is very, and I guess rightly so, because she named me, and she's an amazing woman. I just want to throw that in there. But she named me, and she is convinced that my name is Xantore.
Xantore.
Yeah. And my dad always called me Xantori. So it's like
Xantore.
Xantore and Xantori.
I've always thought that was more of just her like Canadian English accent.
No, I think that's intentional. I know it's intentional. She's made a point to make it intentional. But because it's a made-up name, she's kind of given me, very nice of her to give me creative license over it. So I've gone for more of the Xantori route rather than the Xantore route, because it's just too much going on.
That is wild. I guess, well, wasn't your name kind of based off of Salvatore? But that's Tori.
My name was meant to be Salvatore, but my mum did not want my nickname to be Sally.
I kind of think that'd be a cool nickname.
I mean, I love my name. I love Salvatore as well. Yeah, I like the creative names.
Anyways, yeah, I'm going to make a little list, and I will include pictures of Graham and Winston so you guys can all enjoy their beautiful faces.
There's not many things, I'm quite proud of the fact that there's not many things that I get embarrassed by, but every now and again, I will take, you know, I'll have some friends over to my flat, and I'll walk them around the flat because I'm very proud of it, and I forget that there's a damn stuffed bunny sat next to my pillow in my bedroom, and I always get so embarrassed, and I always have to immediately preface it, like they might not even be looking at it, and they walk into the room and I spot it and I go, that's Margot's bunny, by the way.
But it's not, it's yours.
I know it is, but it's not like I went out and bought it and I like cuddle up with it. Like,
you don't?
No, I sit him nicely on the bed during the day, and then he goes with the spare pillow on the floor.
I will second the fact that you do put the bunny on the ground, which I don't agree with as a parent, but I guess co-sleeping also has its downsides. So we're gonna wrap up with one more question. I'm actually just gonna end up, I was gonna try to find a question that would prompt the story, but I'm just gonna cut to the chase. We have a crazy story to tell you guys in the Bahamas.
That was straight out of a movie.
That was insane. Okay, I'm going to set the scene. We'll try to make this kind of quick, and then we'll wrap up the pod after this because I know it's been going on for a while. But I want to end it with a good story for you guys. So to set the scene, Xantori and I spent an amazing week together in the Bahamas at Xantori's family friend's house. And we left to go to the airport at the same time, but I was flying back to New York. I was flying back to New York and Xantori was flying back to England. So basically it was a super small airport. So the plan was to just, our flights
They were only like 20 minutes apart.
Yeah, mine was first. So the plan was always to just like check in, go through security, hang out with each other for an hour and a half, and then say our goodbyes and go our separate ways. So we get to the airport. I check in. My check-in was super easy. I don't know why, it's normally not for me, but just dropped my bags. I had pre-check, so I went right through security. I was in like 15 minutes. I had some extra time. I started to get a little anxious because by the time I was in, Xantori was still waiting to check his bags.
And we were flying separate airlines.
Right. And you were with your mom also.
Yes.
Just for context. So I started to get like a tiny bit anxious because I was like, all right, this is a little weird that he's still at the check-in counter, but whatever, I'm just going to go for a walk around the airport. So I get myself a magnet. So I have my Bahamas magnet thing on my fridge right now. And okay, so I buy my magnet and I buy my water, and Xantori's still waiting to check his bags. And I use the bathroom. Xantori's still checking his bags. And then finally, Xantori gets in like the security line. And as he's getting into the security line, which is now massive, according to him, because we can really only like text at this point because you can't make calls in the security line, my flight gets called to start boarding. And this is where like the pit in my stomach comes, because we also like didn't say goodbye. We were like, bye, see you in 5 minutes.
Well, and then it genuinely was a massive line. It just kind of built up and built up. And we got to the beginning of the line, and my mum was really the hero of the story, because she basically, I can't remember if she started calling out or if she almost like nudged the guy, because obviously it's a bit of like a zigzag.
Yes.
And nudged the person kind of two people down and said, my son his girlfriend is waiting at the gate. She's going to fly somewhere else. They're in a long distance relationship. Can my son go in front of you? And the lovely person let me go in front of them. I got through security. And then it was customs. So there's a whole other line.
At this point, I'm already in the boarding line. And the boarding line is moving quicker than any boarding line has ever been removed. Like, I was praying that there was going to be some holdup. There was going to be 10 different groups. And I was going to be in the last group. And all the groups start getting called. And my group gets called. I want to say there was 5 groups. And I was in group 4 or whatever. And I was like, okay, fuck that. I'm just going to wait until I'm the last person on the plane. So I'm just waiting. Xantori's still in customs. At this point, like, the phone thing is even stricter, so I can't even really communicate with him. And also, like, I know this sounds really dramatic, but we weren't going to see each other for like 2 months after this. And it was very stressful.
Just to be able to have that closure is, I think, so important in terms of saying goodbye. So at this point, I'm waiting in customs. I'd basically accepted that I wasn't going to see Margot. And then out of nowhere, the line just started moving. And I got to the front where there was a US customs officer.
So as Zantori was just getting to the front, I didn't know that this was happening because he couldn't use his phone at this point. Obviously, he's talking to the customs officer. Everyone's on the plane. I'm just kind of like slowly walking towards the woman. She's probably like, what is wrong with this woman? I had tears streaming down my face. I wasn't getting any text from Zantori. I didn't know what was going on. The whole freaking plane had basically like already scanned their boarding passes. There was nobody else in sight. I was like, anyone else going to New York and want to go ahead of me? No one. So I give them my ticket. I scan and waterworks. Like, it was over. I'd scan my boarding pass. I started walking on the like gate or whatever it's called onto the plane.
So yeah, this customs officer was the quickest officer I've ever had with US customs. Literally just was like, do you have anything on you in terms of cash? I was like, I've got like a dollar. He was like, great.
And I get a text, and the text was, wait.
So I ran with everything in me up, because Margot told me the gate as well, thankfully. So I ran with everything in me up the escalator and just straight through the terminal.
As Zan is running through the airport, he texts me, wait, like I made it through, whatever. So I basically have to turn around on this runway. What's that like hallway called before you get on the plane? Like pre on the plane, but post when you scan your boarding pass.
It's like the tunnel.
It's like, yeah, the tunnel.
That leads to the
So
the
I'm plane. In the tunnel. There was a line of people in the tunnel. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to actually hold the plane up, but I don't know if they're going to like, if they've closed some door or whatever. So I turn back and I see this woman. I still didn't see Zantori anywhere, but I had to just, again, tears were streaming down my face. It was probably so embarrassing, but like, I was not thinking about that. And I was just like, I need to just wait here for 1 minute. Can I just please stand here for 30 seconds? And she needed to like do her job, rightfully so, but she let me stand there for 30 seconds. And I just see out of the corner of my eye, like a little Zantori getting bigger and bigger and bigger, like sprinting towards me.
I grab Margot. We embrace for, I don't know how long it was. It could have been 10 seconds. It could have been 10 minutes.
It was so quick. It was literally like hug each other, kiss each other with everything in you, and then get on the fucking plane.
Yeah.
I think I also looked at the woman. She was like, yeah, it's time. You got to go.
Yeah.
But we had our moment.
Just a wave of relief, sadness, ecstasy, any emotion you want to throw at it.
I was so euphoric after.
I think you were so euphoric. I'm not a big crier. I broke down because I thought it was like a second chance, but it was also then such heightened emotion. Mm-hmm. It was like I almost accepted that I'd missed you. Then I saw you. Then I all of a sudden you disappeared again. Mm-hmm. So it was just I was just distraught, and then I ended up, after sprinting, I ended up just walking back and seeing my mum, and I just gave my mum the biggest hug. Aww. And it was just,
I know, I remember getting a really sweet text from your mom after, just saying like, I'm glad you guys got to see each other. I didn't get to say goodbye to your mom also, which sucked, but
so I was grateful for that opportunity. We will certainly never forget that.
It was I wanted to like tell everyone on the plane what had just happened. Like, I was like, okay. I think we've covered a lot of ground.
I hope so.
So I'm going to wrap this episode up because I'm also aware that my mic is going to die soon. We have a fun weekend ahead. We are going to a festival called Sound on Sound. They invited us to go, which is so cool. Listen to some of these people who are performing.
The big one on the Saturday for me is Red Hot Chili Peppers, because that was like my middle school band. So even though I don't listen to them all that much now, I probably still have every lyric in my head still. And then Sunday, John Mayer, Alanis Morissette, who I'm not familiar with, but Hozier, Dispatch.
Isn't it ironic? That's her.
Mountjoy, Ben Harper.
Hozier.
Yeah, Hozier is unreal.
Oh, I'm going to die and go to heaven when Hozier is on. I'm so excited. I also was looking at the Sound on Sound Instagram, and there were a couple comments that were like, I really hope that Hozier and John Mayer do a duet. Could you imagine?
They probably will. I know John Mayer does that from time to time. He's done it in the past with like Alicia Keys and Keith Urban.
I would be so unwell. What song do you think he would do?
Maybe John would do the guitar like backing for Hozier.
I love the first name basis.
Well, this is like our third or fourth time seeing him.
Yeah, so at this point, we're well acquainted.
Yeah,
this practically knows us. Is this our fourth time? No, this is our third time
This
together.
Is our third time, once with him and the Grateful Dead, and then twice. This will be our second
Yeah.
of just him solo.
So yeah, we have a really exciting weekend coming up, and then Santori is heading from, we're staying at my parents' house for this concert because it's in Connecticut, and then Zan is going from Connecticut to JFK, and we're leaving each other. Oh, something like a little nice tradition that we have is every time we say goodbye, we take a selfie, and I have a folder on my phone of all the selfies of us saying goodbye, which I feel like is more a gift to my future self, because I feel like when we're not doing long distance, it's going to be such a nice reminder of like all of the BS we had to go through to get to that stage.
They are the scariest looking photos as well. It's like Margot and I both like red faced, puffy eyed, like either really early in the morning or just like so emotional. And
yeah,
they're messy, those photos.
They're for no one else's eyes, but
yeah.
Well, Santori, thank you so much for coming back on Working Title.
It's a pleasure having me. I think
it's a pleasure having me.
Sorry. It's a pleasure to be on. Thank you for having me. Good luck to anyone who's out there and in a long-term relationship. I hope it, you know, works out for you. And thanks for listening. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening. I'm literally getting screamed at by my microphone. It said low battery, low battery. So I love you guys. I'll talk to you guys in the next episode of Working Title, and make sure you subscribe and rate 5 stars and leave a little comment on Apple Podcasts if you're listening there. I absolutely love reading this. All right. Love you guys.
Cheers, guys.